Our first reading this morning can be found in the Pew Bibles on pages 639 and 640. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, the first six verses. Listen for the word of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Send the first reading.
Thank you, Frank. Young people of our church, as Christmas is starting to become a distant memory, and we have such a short institutional memory, right? It's so long ago, last week. I'm curious, as we're celebrating the Epiphany of Jesus, when is the appropriate time to start talking about his death? When is the appropriate time to start considering the fact that the baby boy who we celebrated last week, about a week and a half, week and change ago, has another aspect to him? Blank stares from the children, right? The young people. I can see the wheels turning. There is an answer to this question, by the way, and there is an actual answer. So if you're playing at home, along at home or in the pew with them, there is an answer to this question. When is the appropriate time, Susie? That's enough stalling for you. You were thinking like?
In the middle, like between,
more like February-y, middle-y time. She's looking at her liturgical calendar, noticing that Ash Wednesday is in February. So Susie's thinking, right?
Yeah, so like around Lent.
Around Lent. All right. If that's what you're going with, that works for me. What do you think, Jacob? When is the appropriate time to start thinking about the suffering servant?
A little bit after you've broken or lost everything you got for Christmas.
You've broken or lost everything for Christmas. So that could be how soon? Next week?
Last week.
Last week? I mean, what are we thinking, Jacob? Come on. Give me some time here, my friend.
Around February,
okay. Sammy, what are your thoughts?
I agree, start of Lent.
About the start of Lent? Anybody else want to guess? Yes, what do you think, Abby?
It's always appropriate because without the death, the birth really is kind of meaningless.
There it is, with that. It's always appropriate. I started thinking about, not because I've been to seminary, right, but because you can't have one without the other. I started thinking about what Jesus was going to do for me as we were having our egg bake on Christmas morning. Because yes, he's born. Yes, I'm excited. And yes, it brings me joy. But immediately after Jesus' birth, he starts encountering people who are going to remind his parents, and maybe him, I don't know what he knows at that age, anyway, they're going to start reminding him of what, or them, of what is to come. You cannot have the joy of Christmas without being aware of the mystery of his death and his suffering. And yes, we'll celebrate in February. We'll do something in February. Yes, we will. But I want to encourage you that before you lose or break the rest of your Christmas presents, Jacob, to spend a little time considering that. Because you cannot have the one, the joy of Christmas, without acknowledging what the cost of that joy is for your life. Let's pray together and gather around God's word. Loving and gracious God, thank you for this morning. As we are in the midst of the 12 days of Christmas, preparing for the Epiphany of Jesus this week, as we consider his story, speak to our hearts and our minds. Help us to see the nature of the Christ, what he did for us, what his birth means for us, where it eventually leads him, and how it unifies us together along that path. Lord God, as we stop in our service time now and consider the words of the apostle, we ask you to open our hearts and open our minds, that like Paul, we may be changed and transformed by the encounter we have with you. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. The text for today is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. It is found in your pew Bible, if you choose to follow with me, if you wish to, on page 1018. Ephesians 3, 1 through 12. Listen and hear God's word for you today. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, know how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insights into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has been now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is how the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is plain of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose which he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for these your words given to us by the apostle. As we stop now and consider them, speak to our hearts and to our minds, so that what the apostle is saying in all of its complexity and depth might become clear to us. And as it is clear to us, it is shareable for us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Like I started with the young people with a question, sort of an open-ended one that didn't necessarily have a completely clear answer, or at least one that wasn't tricking them in its creation. The incarnation of Jesus Christ that we've celebrated as the church is the one moment in human history where we are presented with the question and we ponder over it and pause on it, at it, what really matters? What really matters? In Epiphany, the answer comes in the form of the child Christ, Jesus. His presentation in the temple complete, he is taken with his family home to their hometown of Nazareth, where he will disappear for the next 30 years. But even though he is not with humanity during those years, as he will be with us following his baptism that we'll read about next week, the question still remains, what really matters? Where are we called to place our energies now? How do we practice our faithfulness?
Our mission, our passion, where is our energy resting now that the incarnation is a distant, as I say with a sigh, memory for this calendar year? We'll see it next year, or we'll see it later this year in 2021. The Apostle Paul confronts this question, what matters here? And offers us the mystery of what is happening in Jesus as the answer to that question. And so today, I want to spend some time thinking about that with you. What really matters? And how do we access that question together? Ann Taylor's novel, Saint Maybe, tells the story of three young children, how they find themselves orphans, and how their 19-year-old and rather self-absorbed Uncle Ian, in an extraordinary moment, an assumption of guilt, holds himself responsible for their parents' death. He immediately, in the story, leaves college. And over the next 20 years, Ian takes it upon himself, without resentment or without bitterness, to set aside the plans he had for his own life and instead to give all of his time and all of his energy and all of his passion to bringing up his dead brother's three children. It's not an easy ride. In losing the world, though, Ian will gain his soul in the story. By the time the children are leaving home, the different family responsibilities that he's been confronted with have worn him out. He finds himself overwhelmed by the all of it in life. At that moment in the story, in walks Rita, a strident 20-something-year-old self-styled clutter counselor. Rita vigorously and unsentimentally throws out 90% of the contents of his refrigerator, along with half of the stuff in the attic, the basement, and almost every room in the house. With an unerring perception, she recognizes the exhaustion that lingers here in the memories, in the unmade decisions, in what sits before Ian with all this clutter. To everyone's surprise, or maybe no one's surprise in the story, Ian falls in love and marries Rita. Maybe it's because she returns him to the simplicity of the one thing that really matters. The simplicity, in his case, that led a 19-year-old who apparently was carefree and had nothing else to worry about to sacrificially care for someone else that he didn't have to. When God became a human for us in Jesus, God hired our own Rita, the clutter counselor, and cleared out everything from our minds that didn't really matter. Jesus spent all of his time with us on that answer, being with us. That's because God wants to provide us the room or the time or the energy or the passion to consider the mystery of what Jesus does for us in Lent that we'll celebrate later, as the children reminded us. It's a mystery that is personal at the same time corporate, a mystery that the Apostle Paul speaks about in our text. And where normally Paul is quite clear and we understand where he's going and what he's doing, I assume, like you, we both found this to be a little muddled. And saying to Paul, what are you doing here, Paul? What's going on? As we consider the question of what truly matters, Paul begins this text by commenting in the passage about the mysterious realignment of the gospel that he has witnessed and participated in. He was on one side of the debate, as you know. Now he finds himself on the other side, working with the enemy. That's now his friend. And while we are familiar with this, the transition is significant. Again, Paul, the Pharisee, now serving as the apostle to the Gentiles. Quite a change. God's word is no longer just for the elite Hebrews in Israel like Paul, the ones who Jesus claimed that he was sent to. Instead, Paul in verse 6 notes that God places the Gentiles and the Hebrews together, jointly linking them as heirs forever. They would become, we would become, the body of believers who share the promise of the Christ and what he does for us. As Paul considers this and sort of wrestles with it on his own, the mystery becomes more apparent to him. Because it seems that God has changed the nature of the relationship with creation. A relationship enumerated clearly through the Gospels for us. Again, previously, Jesus has said in passages like Matthew 15 or Mark 7, he has said that I am sent to the people of Israel only. And then he is impressed by the woman's response in both of those passages to say, yes, but even the dogs get the crumbs that are swept from the master's table. But now, after Pentecost, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God has given the gospel message to all of us, every tongue available, everyone who hears the redemptive message of Jesus Christ, not just the chosen few anymore. Everyone who can say, I am weary and I am heavy laden, can find rest. And Paul sees this mystery unfolding before him, presented to him. So what changed? What is different? What caused God to change God's own mind about salvation? These are those questions that Paul, I think, sits at home with and wrestles and struggles with, considers, meditates upon. It is the mystery that Paul enters into, and he's writing about it today for us. For what really matters here for Paul is not that the gospel is for us and not for them. What matters with the mystery before us is that God's word, by God's choice, brought all of creation together in the person of Jesus Christ. God acted on all of our behalf and brought us together. Jesus links us together in a way that transforms and transcends all of creation into one people, one body. The theological us in them now just becomes us. What matters is not what divides anymore, but Paul learns what unites is what matters. The person of Jesus, what he's done. What brings them together? Where is their commonality? It's the mystery of our passage. That mystery of God's revelation and change leads Paul into a confession about his new understanding of servanthood as an apostle. For when Paul asserts that we are brought together by God through Christ's work, his birth and his death, by God's choice, the way we define then and conceive of service has to change along with it. We are no longer sent to just a few or a chosen group of people, or in our case, a specific community or houses around our neighborhood. Service to God, based upon the mystery of God being revealed to all creation, requires attention be focused differently, more communally, and yet more personally, in an all-encompassing way, and yet in a very dynamically personal way. We can't serve in an isolated way or say things like, well, can only do this much right now, because that's placing limits on what God can or might want to do. Repeatedly in verses 7 through 13, Paul states that his calling, as he understands it, following God's revelation to him, is to help others, the Gentiles specifically, to understand the mystery of what truly matters, God's love, God's redemption, that is now accessible for all of us because of Christ Jesus. He's not confined or called to serve just one person or just a few people. Paul understands that to serve in this passage as it's called for, as Jesus did for him and for us, is to usher the community toward God, to help provide that initial introduction for God to them. Essentially, he makes that first introduction into the relationship, trusting that God will take care of the rest and the relationship will last forever. Paul is sacrificially giving up the expectations and the choices that he might have made previously, and instead he's focusing on what is needed in the moment, in the relationship with that person or that group of people. As his service evolves, so does his paradigm for what ministry looks like. It changes for him. And so Paul's understanding the mystery, Paul's understanding of what really matters, as it changes, so do we change as the Church of Christ now. This is much like Uncle Ian, whose story I began with. An instance or a moment that might have defined him in one way, in one path, That which he thought was where he was going has changed. He's become responsible in a different way, accountable in a new light. It's laid aside, all of it, so Ian can serve his family, so he can take care of them in a way that no one in the story has anticipated. The same is true when we think of Paul and we consider how his ministry and the ministry we participate in now as this church changes and what is required of us as we consider what does really matter. But the servant's work is not without struggle or the absence of pain. Just because God's word is present and accessible to all does not mean that all of the people Paul is sent to or we are sent to will listen or value what we're doing. They won't want to participate in it. They won't see the merit in it. Paul's words affirm this as well. He states in this passage that this work, this choice to become a servant, this choice to enter into the mystery of God that is now accessible to all people, will present challenges for him as he works with and in those local communities of people. He labels those challenges as sufferings, which may sound harsh or dramatic, but it is not, if we think about it. For who among us, when we have tried to serve or care for the community, has not found things in the moment, in that instance, working out a little different than we planned? Which of us has not felt that we're spinning our wheels in our own symbolic mud as we try to engage the community and share the redemptive message of Christ from Christmas? The mystery we're called into, seldom do we find that all of the ministry that we're called to participate in is a straight line of care and support. As I have said since March, ad nauseum, COVID has forced our responses to be more adaptive, to be more considerate and more personal. Even as we celebrate our adaptability as this church, we realize we will still struggle because not everybody gets in line and is doing as we are doing or encountering God as we're encountering God. And yet the realization and those changes and the struggle of all of that comes together and we endure. So what is really the most important thing as we begin the church in 2021? What really matters? How might we answer that? There's a mystery there. We're going to suffer because of it. Yet we're called to serve. How are we going to access that? Well, if we use Paul's words, what matters most, even as it is hard to fully embrace at times, is the unchanging nature of God, wanting to be with us, yearning to be with us, being revealed for us. God choosing to come, to take on that form, so that we can be together forever. That learning, that mystery, that miracle, that redemption must be shared. It must be offered in service consistently, personally, and faithfully to the people of the community, even as it hurts at times because they don't support us. And yet, as it is shared, as Paul reminds us, we grow together and we become the body of Christ. Not just Jew or Gentile, us or them. We become the body of Christ. What was hidden, what seemed complex and mysterious in Christ Jesus became clear, and we participate in it as the church. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to be brought to you, to be given your word, to pause and linger over it in the complexity and challenges of it. As we begin our new year together of 2021, give us an opportunity to enter into that mystery, to stop and consider what does matter. And as we answer that, help us to serve, knowing it'll be challenging. But as we serve, we're brought together with you, with each other, and with the creation. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. In response to God's word, will you stand with me as you are able, as we come together and confess in one voice what we have come to believe. Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And as we continue in our worship of Almighty God, we have prayer concerns which have come from Zoom, and shall be sharing those with you here in a little bit, as well as others to ask for you to join us in the ministry of being the church. But before that, where have you seen God at work? Nora.
And he said, will all everybody go to heaven? And I told him yes. And he said, okay, then the soldiers are protecting his kid. And I also, when I got home, I told his mom and dad he had to be put on Santa's nice list. So I told him when the service started, he was not allowed to go and talk. He knew what he did before that.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely need to get moved to the nice list, doesn't he? Yes. Well, your great-grandson, Liam, was a beautiful young man. And he was 4 years old, by the way. If you didn't know, he would tell you. Full of energy. Thank you for sharing that story with us of him at the Wreaths Across America and how your reflection with him and his time sort of watching and paying attention to what was happening. Thank you for sharing it with us this morning. We appreciate that. Where have you seen God at work? Tim.
I'll tell you what, I think I was moved by Ron Carter's song this morning, Sweet Little Baby. Sweet Little Jesus Boy. Just read it there, make sure I got the time. And truthfully, I don't remember hearing that one before. And Ron sang it beautifully, thank you, Ron.
Yeah.
But that, when you listen to the words, I think that was just very, very moving. That's
I think we would all agree, Tim, that was God at work. Thank you, Ron, for that musical offering. That was wonderful to listen to. The words were very, very powerful if you were listening. I agree, Tim. Thank you for sharing it with us. Where have you seen God at work? Denise.
This happened to Rachel last week. Grandma sent her to the post office with not enough money, and she was so embarrassed because the lady told her it was $7. She only had $3, and she said there was a man behind her that stepped up and gave her a $5 bill. And so it just made her cry to think that there's still people out there that care. And she came out, and then Grandma sent her back in to give the guy his money back. But she was just so impressed that somebody would have just wanted to do that.
Thank you for sharing that story with us of Rachel and the post office and sort of that stress of not having enough money, but somebody provided for and how it moved her. Thank you for sharing it with us today. Where have you seen God at work? Nancy.
I see hope in this new vaccine that's arrived this week,
and
medical personnel are taking it. And it does remind me of my childhood when the polio vaccine was brought out. And my parents took us directly from church to the local fire hall. Mm-hmm, and they didn't tell us what it was about.
Sure.
But it was to get our polio vaccine on sugar cubes.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. There is hope, I agree, in the vaccine. We will be keeping those who are taking the vaccine, those who are administering, in our prayers this morning. Where have you seen God at work?
I thank you for sharing with us this morning these stories. As we come to our time of prayers, the concern that made its way forward from our Zoom friends was for the, it says, prayers for the dam, for a friend of the dam boss, Carolyn, on the death of her brother, Gary. He's passed from COVID. And so we will pray for Gary, his friends, and his family as they go through a time of grief following his passing. Emma is not with us this morning, but asked if you would pray for her boss, Haley. She and her husband are having some struggles trying to start a family, and it's beginning to weigh on Haley's spirit a little bit, and she's having some problems with that. So please keep Haley in your prayers today. Do you have joys and concerns you would like to share today? Kathy?
Continued prayers for Amy. Continued prayers for Tyler, although he is home from the hospital for now and doing okay. And continued prayers for Victoria, who is back in the hospital over New Year's for some unrelated issues.
We will continue to pray for Amy as she still battles esophageal cancer. And for Tyler, glad to hear he is home from the hospital. Please keep him in your prayers, church family. And for Victoria, who spent New Year's back in the hospital with some unrelated issues, but still in the hospital over New Year's. So please keep them in your prayers.
They may still be there, I'm not sure.
They may still be there. So please pray for them today. Are there other joys and concerns? Nora. We will keep Zach and Emily in their prayers as they have suffered a miscarriage. And we will keep Logan and his family in their prayers as they go through the process of adoption. Thank you. Are there others this morning? Frank?
Prayers for a friend and co-worker, Brad, whose father passed away the last couple of days.
We will keep Brad in our prayers as his father has passed away recently. Thank you. Are there others today? Bert.
Got a letter from Grace D, the child responsible for Paul. He's very, very happy. Everything is, it's just a nice letter. It's just, I don't cry very easy. It's got a tear in my eye.
Those letters will bring a tear to your eye when you get them. Yes, they will, Bert. And we're glad to hear about it. Your child in Nepal. Speaking of which, thank you for saying something about that. We also received church family greetings from Dipendra and from Bakish in Nepal, wishing us a safe and happy new year and a safe and merry Christmas. So we will be thinking of them as well this time. Are there other joys and concerns? Denise. I didn't catch who it was. I'm sorry.
My sister-in-law's dad, his name is, Newcomb's the last name, Oliver's his first name.
We will keep Oliver in our prayers in the nursing home as he has been diagnosed with COVID. You said he is in?
Virginia.
I was going to say Maryland, but I didn't think that was right. In Virginia. We will keep in our prayers. Thank you. Are there other joys and concerns today? Then let us be the church. Gracious God, thank you for bringing us together this morning. As we press in and lean into the mystery of Christ Jesus coming to be with us, linking us together, uniting us to, as a community, as all of creation, we are reminded of how you are at work, not just here in Plains, but throughout your creation. We are reminded of the stories and the good well wishes we've received from our children and friends in Nepal and through ICN. Their words have brought a tear to our eye. They have blessed our souls. And so we lift them to you, asking you to continue to watch over them today. We think of Amy as she's still battling esophageal cancer. We pray you give her victory over that, restore her health. We are glad to hear that Tyler is home from the hospital. Continue to allow him to stay at home. Continue to be with him. We think of Victoria, who spent New Year's in the hospital and may still be there with different issues, but still serious issues. So be with her. Be with her family. Be with her friends as they think about her and support her. We pray for Emily today as she and Zach have suffered a miscarriage. We pray you watch over them, that you heal them, not just physically, but heal them emotionally. Watch over them. For Logan and his family, as they begin the process of adoption, we give you thanks that they'll be adopting and taking the care of a young child, but God be with them. Link that family and that child, the ones you have already ordained, link them together today. We pray for Gary, the Danbaugh's friend, as he has passed away because of COVID. We pray that you comfort and sustain and uphold them with your grace and your presence. Be with a co-worker and friend of Frank's, Brad, whose father has passed away the last few days. We ask for your comfort and your care of Brad, his friends and family. We think of Oliver as well, who is in a nursing home in Virginia, having been diagnosed with COVID. We pray that he beats that, that his health is restored, that he's on the road to recovery quickly. And we think of Haley and her husband as they try to start a family. Give them peace and grace in the midst of that, as it's not going well. Help them to know you are present, know that they are prayed for in the midst of their struggles. And that is our prayer for us as well as this church. Help us to be aware that those that we love and that we care for are in your thoughts, in your heart. We've prayed for them, and the Spirit has helped us with that work. Continue to watch over us as we continue to do the ministry of this church into the new year. Give us wisdom and understanding as to how we can communicate, evangelize, and serve into the community in which we're called. And we'll give you the honor and glory and praise, for you are worthy of it. Now, Lord, hear us together, your children, as we offer you the first prayer which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.